wondered why some businesses seem to effortlessly turn subscribers into diehard fans and customers? What if I told you that the secret lies in something that you're already using, but you may not be maximizing? Are you ready to unlock the true potential of your email marketing? Then stick around because my guest is going to be sharing all about it. Welcome back to Marketing Strategy Academy podcast, where we help female entrepreneurs go from marketing overwhelm to an easy, streamlined strategy and system that includes Pinterest and repurposing content to grow their businesses when they have very little time. I'm your host, Jen Vasquez. Let's jump right into it. If marketing is something that you want to learn more about, I would love for you to subscribe to our podcast or our YouTube channel. Today, I am so excited to be chatting with Amy Abel of Alpine Start Media. Amy is a sustainably driven entrepreneur and the founder of Alpine Start Media, an agency built to manage social media and email marketing for sustainable brands. As the co-author of JeltBelt.com, a line of belts made from recycled plastic, Amy has had hands-on experience and intelligence when it comes to growing and marketing purpose-driven, eco-conscious brands. Passionate about combining personal choices with sustainable business models and products, Amy helps sustainable brands boost their social media footprint, grow revenue through email marketing, and scale to new heights. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you, Jen. So excited to be here with you and talk to your audience. I've been a fan of the podcast for a while, so excited to be here.
Yay! All right. So I always love to start this question. How did you get to what you're doing right now? I love to hear, and our audience loves to hear, all the windy roads that it took to kind of get you to what you're doing today.
Yeah. You know, I'm really passionate about sustainability, like you mentioned. And I think that comes from really originally like a love of the outdoors. I was in school and felt like I was like living these two different worlds of like going to school for the semester and then spending summers out west guiding. And I think being in those like beautiful environments really reminded me that like the earth is so worthy of protecting and that I really loved it. And so added a sustainability co-major. And for me, marketing is like the opportunity to tell a story, right? And stories can influence people and influence their purchasing decisions. So if I could pair sustainability and tell that story and kind of flip the script on some consumerism, then I was really excited to do that. So I spent a few years in a tech entrepreneurial program after school. And I think that really like, I don't know, if anyone has started their business, they might be a little hesitant, like starting a business is scary. And this program kind of removed the fear. It like showed us successful entrepreneurs. And so that when I left that program, starting my own business didn't feel so scary. I felt like I had the tools and the support to do that. And so about 2.5 years ago, I started Alpine Start Media, and we do email and social for sustainable brands. And it's been a really fun ride. I feel like I have a handful of really fun clients that I love that are doing good things for the earth. And then about a year ago, purchased Jelt with my brother, actually. And so that's been a really cool opportunity to understand what it's like from the business owner's perspective. You know, I'm helping all of these business owners, they're my clients, but to really understand what that's like, you know, what your budget looks like, what your planning looks like, all that, all of those things from a business owner's perspective of a product-based business, I think has been really helpful. So yeah, excited to chat specifically about marketing with you today.
Yay. So let's just dive right in because I know everyone's ears are perked and they're like ready to, as you know, I try to keep them pretty short, these podcasts, because I want to get to the meat. So can you break down what email flows really are for us in the simplest of terms?
Yes. An email flow is an email that you set up for anyone that subscribes to your email list. So someone comes to your website, hopefully you have a pop-up that's giving them something free, or you know, you meet them in person and you tell them to subscribe to your newsletter or to your flow. And then it's those emails that are automated that automatically send to someone that really hook them on your brand. And there can be many different kinds of email flows, and we'll dive into that, but it's those automated emails that kind of like you talk about with your Pinterest marketing, you can set and forget and they'll do good things for you for a very long time.
And they're often also coined as like nurture sequences and things like that, right? So just everyone, because everyone uses different lingo, but I want to make sure everyone understands or can picture exactly what we're talking about today. Why do you think that email flows are really the secret sauce in email marketing?
Yeah, they're the secret sauce because they're what keep your subscribers engaged, and you can get so specific with your email flows that like someone can feel like they're speaking directly with you. I think from a business owner's standpoint, you can set up these say 10 email flows and then they're going. It's no longer work that you have to check in on every day, and of course I recommend like monitoring to them to make sure that they're getting great open rates and click-through rates, but they're work that you can do that still feel personalized throughout the life of the flow or the nurture. Yes.
So smart. So smart. Can you share your top three type of email flows that every business should really set up like yesterday?
Right. Yeah. If you're just getting started, of course, I recommend a welcome flow. So it's really important as soon as someone puts their email in on your website that they immediately receive an email. They want to know that they actually have subscribed. If you offer a free discount or a value add, that someone gets that in their inbox right away. And then throughout that next week, you know, they've put in their email, they want to be engaged from you, they actually want to hear from you. So setting up that welcome flow to be the first few messages so that you can set the foundation of what you really want your email subscribers to know about your business is really, really important. So of course, a welcome flow. The second one, which may not be what you expect, but would actually be like a post-purchase flow. And that's whether you're in a service industry or you're selling a product, but just, you know, if someone's purchased, especially a physical product from you, they want to know like how to use it, where to learn more. They're like ultimate intrigued, right? After they purchase. And so really giving them the tools to use that product or service well as soon as they've purchased so that they don't have buyer's remorse, so that they love what they've purchased is really important. And then the last one is an abandoned cart flow. So if someone has added your product to their cart and for some reason they didn't purchase, they weren't fully convinced, but yet you have their email, sending them reasons why your product is the best or the most valuable or why you're really glad that they're there to try to push them over the edge to like making that purchase.
That's so smart. And that's one area that I'm very weak in. I have not set that up yet. Which is so dumb because I'm a marketing person. Like I love everything about marketing. I'm not doing what I say. I need to do what I say. But I think it's important that a lot of people feel like an empty cart is because they chose not to purchase. Mm. And what I would love for everyone to hear that is watching or listening right now is oftentimes if you're in line at the grocery store and you put it in the cart and then you go and finish your order and stuff and you forgot about it. So it's not just that people decided not to purchase. Oftentimes, more often than not, from what I hear, it's because they forgot or they were in the middle or they were interrupted for some reason.
Yeah. In a world where we're unfortunately doing many things at once, it's easy to forget what we're doing. And so, of course, our customer feels the same.
Yeah, for sure. What's the biggest mistake that you see people making when setting up email flows? And I always like to say this, not because everyone goes, oh, yeah, I made a mistake, but more so to know the importance of it.
Yeah, I actually have a couple that I'll say. One that's pretty new, especially if you're selling a product or honestly, even a service, if you have a discount code and it's like welcome 10 or something simple, it's easy for the internet bots to grab that coupon code and then offer it to people, even if they're not subscribed to your email. So I don't know if you ever have these, like, they're like apps that can be added to your computer or your phone and they scan the internet for codes. And so oftentimes if you're not using an individualized code, anyone can use your codes. And so I see this a lot with affiliate marketing too, but I would say to choose an email platform, and I recommend Klaviyo, that allows you to do individualized coupon codes so that your coupon codes aren't on the internet for anyone to use. That is one. Another one is to make sure that you're optimizing for mobile. Most people are reading emails on their phone. And if you are designing your email on a desktop, make sure that someone can easily read it on their phones. Yeah, all about making that customer experience really easy. You know, someone wants to read it, they want to be engaged, and they're going to be mad if they can't read it because your text is too small. So
yeah, those are great. Do you have another one?
The last one was just making sure that your flows are segmented. That means getting specific about who you're sending your email flows to. A good example is if someone's purchased from you twice and they first received a thank you for purchasing from us email, they don't want to receive the exact same email when they purchase again. You know, thank you for purchasing again, or thank you for being a loyal customer, you know, adding something extra so that someone doesn't get the same email twice.
That's so good. Really good. And I don't think a lot of people are doing that segmentation, and that is really important. Could you give us a peek into how you personalize email flows so that it doesn't seem like an email flow?
Yeah, there are so many ways. And a lot of that, it comes down to segmenting, like what I was saying before. It might sound like too much, but if you can create segments that are based on someone's behavior, it feels really personalized. So some of those segments include, like, if someone has opened an email in the last 60 days, you know, it can be a smaller percentage of your list. So maybe they've opened an email in the last 30 days, maybe they've clicked in the last 60 days. So they're semi-interested. Like, how do you take that person and send them very specific information about something that's going to keep them more engaged? Maybe that's a really interesting subject line. Maybe that's like a, hey, I know you've been around for a while, like, sending them a coupon to like push the needle. So really segmenting your audiences is, I think, a really good way to make it feel personalized.
What tools or platforms do you love for creating killer email flows?
Yeah, I use Klaviyo most of the time as my email platform. It integrates really well with Shopify, and it also provides really good reporting and then also really good segmentation, like we were talking about earlier. It provides the unique custom code. So I love Klaviyo is an email platform, but I've also used MailChimp and Constant Contact, and a lot of them are very similar. So, but I actually design for my clients all of my emails in a design platform, because I think sometimes there's like an added extra element to that extra branding. So I design them in a design platform and then import them into the email platform as a photo. I've tested text and photo emails a lot, and I really think that the added design element, you know, that email platforms can't always provide, make it feel a little elevated. So I just use Canva for that. It's nothing fancy, but I think it adds a really great element, and then kind of shortcuts some of the, you can use like Canva's email designs or templates if you aren't super design savvy.
Perfect. And then how do you measure the success for your email flows? Like, are there any metrics or signs that you know that it's like working, or that maybe you need to make a change?
Yeah, this one is new and important, but your deliverability metric is actually really important. So there were some updates that have actually come out because of AI. Email inboxes have made their restrictions a little tighter so that anyone can't send an email to anyone. And so it's really important that you actually verify your domain with your email provider. And if you have an email provider, you've probably seen messages from your email provider that asking
it's
you to
that, it's that whole DMARC and this and that and the other. Yeah, I literally had to spend a good 4 hours working with my CRM to make sure that everything was working properly so that I don't have an issue with sending emails. And it was supposed to happen in February. So you'll want to jump on it right away if you haven't.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a little tricky. Yeah, sometimes you're working with the person who helps with your website or your email person, but verifying your domain. And that's really important because it helps you improve your deliverability. So deliverability is like the metric that you get assigned as kind of like your email trusted rate. Like, do the email people believe that you are someone who can be sending emails? And so there are lots of ways to improve your deliverability. That's the metric that you are asking for. And the other things that can help is like segmenting in your audiences, so you're not always sending to your full list. Like if you're running a campaign, make sure you're sending it maybe to only someone who's been engaged or someone who is engaged but hasn't purchased yet. And getting more specific will help your deliverability, as well as like not sending spammy subject lines like act now or limited time only, things like that. So all that can help.
Yeah. And then talk to me a little bit about open rates and click rates, because I know they're important, but are there certain sort of numbers or ranges that you hope to see in your email?
Yeah. Yeah. So an open rate obviously is like how many people open your email. A lot of that's determined by deliverability. So the more you can improve your deliverability, the more your email doesn't end up in a spam folder and the more likely it is to be opened. But really, like a 45 open rate is really good. 45, 50, 55, depending on your industry. You know, if you're a service provider like you or I, probably the people in our corner might be a little closer. And so our open rates might be a little higher. But if you're a product-based industry, you might have 30, 40, 50,000 people on your email list and they don't know who you are as a business owner. And so your open rates might be much lower. So it really depends on the industry. But yeah, there are lots of things that you can do, like we've talked about, to improve those open rates. And then a click rate, I hate to say this again, but it's true. Like if you're a product-based business, your click rate might be less than 1%, maybe 1, 2, 3% is good. But a lot of times, like if you can build rapport, which is interesting, I don't know if you're seeing this, but nowadays it feels like people love seeing the business owner's face. And if you can show that on social media or in your emails, like so that your customers know like who they're supporting, that really, really boosts things like open rates and click rates because they feel like they know you and they want to know you and all the things that you're up to.
Yeah, I've been testing different things. Like I have my logo at the top, but then when I actually put like my picture at the top, it boosts everything, which is crazy because I don't really want to see my face on every email, but it gives a like a comfortable feeling or a trustworthy type of feeling and engages more clicks. But I also think a mistake that a lot of our service providers out there who are our biggest sort of audience is that they don't sort of pay attention to the numbers. Like what the numbers are doesn't really matter as much as email to email. So for instance, I've looked at like the last 5 emails that I sent and one was higher open rate, higher click rate than the others. So I really examined sort of what it was and it was more on the education side of things versus the sales type of things. So I think, would you agree that it's important to kind of see what those rates are for your business and to do more of what gets more clicks and opens?
Yes, it's definitely like social media in that way, or probably like Pinterest. I always recommend an audit. And we just did this for all of our clients at the end of last year to look at, we go by content buckets, making buckets that are like the pillars of your business. What are the most important things that you need to tell your audience about? And oftentimes one of those is education. And so if you go through and you're like, wow, all the emails I sent, my education buckets are, those are, have the highest open rates, like keep that up. And maybe, you know, maybe your sales or they also do really well, but you know, what are those content buckets that aren't doing well? And how do you replace that with something that's more engaging? So yeah, I feel like marketing is always like a see how it goes, repeat the good, cut out what doesn't work. And that applies to email too.
Exactly. Exactly. I also too will sometimes share a blog post by going to Google Analytics and seeing which blog post is ranking because I just want more people going there because it makes Google happy as well and helps me to grow sort of overall. In wrapping up, so what are 3 things that have really helped you to grow your business? Could be tools, could be advice, really anything, but what would you say are the top 3 things that really have helped you grow?
Yeah, these are great things to reflect on. And I would say the number one, at least for the last year or so, has just been meeting other entrepreneurs. And I know everyone says it, but like getting in those rooms, like how can you connect with other people who can show you new things, can support you? There's so much to learn. And especially in the marketing industry, so much is changing all the time. And so really getting in those rooms. But I think, you know, a second part to that is like finding your few people that are really going to be your cheerleaders. Like who are those people who are going to be like, okay, is this what you're doing? Is this what you really want to do? And meeting with them pretty regularly. Mine's, one of those is my brother, which I feel really lucky about. And he's a great person to have. So yeah, getting in the room. The second one is hiring for help. You know, you can't do it all, especially as you grow. And finding good people to hire and work with and thinking about what tasks can you offload because you're not the best at them or you don't like doing them, and finding people who that's their thing so that you can spend more time doing what you're really good at. And then third is actually stress management and work-life balance. Like I can't love work if I am not taking time for myself, whatever that looks like. And so I spend a lot of time outside. Sometimes I take a Friday off. You know, we have the luxury sometimes to like listen to the energy that we have day to day and respond in our work when we're an entrepreneur. And so finding good ways to manage stress, because I don't think any amount of success is worth being stressed for. So learning how to manage that is great.
I totally agree. I feel like the hustle culture is like killing us. I take every Tuesday to literally be on the ground playing with my grandbabies. And for me, that has made me such a better business owner. I'm more strategic in the things that I put on my plate and that I say yes to because I know I have limited time. It's kind of made me more focused and able to grow more because of it. So I think a lot of people think of that as sort of selfish, and it's not. It's literally why we got into doing our own thing, right? It's why we became entrepreneurs, is to make our own schedule. So make it. I'll have days when I've had like a rough week and I'm like, okay, I'm blocking off my Friday. I'm going to sit in bed. I'm going to eat popcorn and watch rom-coms all day. Like whatever is going to make you happy, do it. Or like you were saying, going hiking or being outdoors. Sometimes I'll take my laptop and I'll go sit in nature because I just feel more inspired that way if I'm going to write a blog post.
Yeah, we forget about the freedoms that we've given ourselves. You know, like what is going to make you more happy than hanging out with your grandbabies on a Tuesday, you know? And that loving, I just love that that's, you know, remember your why and try to stick to that and not be too busy to do the things that you love is really important to me.
Yes. And before we wrap everything up, I do want to note one thing that we didn't touch on, and I think it's probably a mistake that we didn't, so we're going to do it, is the importance of sending regular emails to your email list. So tell me a little bit about why that's important and how that actually will help you in growing your business.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important to plan these out. You know, I sit at the beginning of a quarter and think through the things that are happening and create a calendar. And so within that calendar, it gives you time to think about the individual segments of people that you're going to send to. Maybe you have a segment that you really want to send your educational material to and making time for that. I'd lean on those content buckets, those pillars of your business, and making sure that at least every month, if not a few times a month, you're sending emails to your regular email list about the things that are really important to you. And I think as service-based people or businesses, it's really great to let those people into your life a little bit. Like, you know, what podcast were you on? What event are you going to? What's going on in your life? So that people can feel like that you're a real human too and connect with you and be like, oh, Jen's emails in my inbox. Like, what has she been up to this week? And I think, you know, having people who are excited about that because you let them into the personalized side is really important. Yeah, especially for service-based industries. So I would say planning is really important. Really lean on segmentation and keeping things personalized. I like to send at least an email out a week. So at least.
Yes, 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 yes. There are two things in my business that I will never miss. One, obviously, is client work, because without client work, I wouldn't have a business. Second is my blog post each week. And third is my email each week. And guess what? My blog post creates my email list. So, I mean, it's a shortened, more summary type version and how it maybe applies to me or my business or what's going on in my life. But it makes it kind of easy. And they're sort of, those three things are non-negotiable.
Yeah. And I love your repurposing of content there. You know, it doesn't have to be hard. It can be things you're already thinking about or the reel that you posted this week or what's going on Pinterest. Like throw that in the email too.
Excellent. All right. Before we get to the gift that you're sharing with our audience, tell everyone about the services that you provide in case anyone's been listening and going, I need Amy's help.
Sure. Yeah. We do social media and email marketing for sustainable brands. We don't stick to just sustainable brands, but that's what we're really, really good at. And so for social media, that means content creation. If you need help with videos or posting or knowing what's going to go viral, hopefully, we do that content creation and posting and scheduling for you. And then we also, of course, do email like we talked about, and that's only on a monthly basis. We help you plan those things and create good emails for your audience. So yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah. So if email is not your thing, because it's not everyone's thing, that's a perfect thing to outsource to someone like Amy, because obviously she's got copy and all the thoughts and all the needs and all the engagement knowledge and all that good stuff. And she can take that off your plate. So FYI, that's amazing. Tell everyone what your freebie is and how it will help our audience.
Yes, my freebie is 5 ways to grow your email list. That's one of the most common questions I get. You know, where do these people come from? How do I grow my list? So you can get that by going to my website, or maybe you'll link it in the show notes, and subscribing to my email. You'll get 5 ways to grow your email list.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Amy, for your valuable advice and your time today. And if you guys found some ideas or tips or things that you're going to implement in your business, we would love for you to leave a review, because that's the lifeblood of a podcast and a YouTube channel. Now go out there and do something good for your business, like snagging Amy's gift and actually taking action. So put some time on that calendar for next week to actually implement those suggestions that Amy has for you, because I think it'll really go a long way to helping you grow your business in the end. Thank you. Bye.